Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, the crew of the Sky on Fire made landfall at Ord Mantell, where they were greeted with an ad for local sporting events and a warning about slavers. Having received instructions, the crew boarded yet another rental and cruised through the grubbier side of the city to the gated community where their next lead, Illo Vanden, lived. Rather than simply gathering information, the crew were thrust into the slippery economy of favors. Vanden could give them what they need, provided they run interference with Flutterplume, a big name in local wrestling. But first, they would have to find the masked fighter. Join them on their search in this week's episode, The Cold Shoulder.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 2, Episode 2. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I am Leslie. I play Billy.
Good evening. I would like to thank you for attending our evening event here. If you will just wait one moment, I will summon our sommelier. That would be Cav, also known as Illyn.
Wait, what? Billy, what is Illyn supposed to be doing?
This is a fine dining evening. You are to bring the wine.
Perwin! Psst, Perwin! Does the crew have any wine aboard?
No. Why would he have wine?
Billy said Illyn needed it.
Actually, I wasn't quite sure if wine was not allowed on board, and I do have a bottle in my quarters.
I mean, it's allowed. I don't have an anti-wine rule.
Good. The way you reacted to that made me think that maybe... Good, right.
Perfect. Vestrano, why don't you introduce yourself to these fine beings with the wine?
Well, I'm no... small, I don't know. I've never actually heard that word before, but I am not that. I am a doctor, and I am Vestrano, and I just happen to appreciate a good vintage.
I'm Barrowin, the captain of this ship. How did you get in? And where did these menus come from?
I made them in my spare time. I thought you might appreciate the gold leafing.
And this Gan's name is Illyn Cav. And tonight, Illyn is going to be these beings' DJ. Cue music. K1 hit it.
This would be the perfect place now if I go back and write a new rap.
Well, you got a bit of time.
Wiki, wiki.
I think Cav should cover the Betty rap.
What does the hut pay?
I should do the Cav cover of that.
That would be hilarious. Yes. And yes, you should. Get a little bit of help from Maddie and the droid guy, you know. To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, we get Vestrano to ask.
Yes, good. Captain Barrowin, just as a point of curiosity, you know, Billy has 3B and Cav has their, you know, micro Cavs. If you had
the best term ever.
We call them danger bots, yes.
and Cav has their micro calves. If you had a creature companion, what do you think you would have?
A Viractyl.
That was a very quick answer. Why?
Why was the answer quick? Because I've thought about it a lot. But unfortunately, the hold is not apparently big enough to make a sensible area for it to exercise on long hyperspace trips.
I very much appreciate that you had that answer ready so fast. I thought that you'd have to think about it and be practical.
I mean, Viractyls have a lot of practical uses, like riding and biting.
Both very good. We definitely could have used one of those in the jungle.
I agree.
And they could have glided down from the sky on fire.
Yeah, see?
Viractyls can fly?
They can sort of glide.
I hear they glide.
Cav needs 10 of them.
We don't have room for one of them, Cav.
What would you use 10 Viractyls for, Cav?
For slowing Cav's fall next time Cav has to jump out of the ship.
I believe we are endeavoring to avoid this eventuality, but good thinking. Maybe Illyn could presume to design a Viractyl suit that allows one to glide as a Viractyl.
Oh, God, I love that.
I hate to break it to you, Cav, but no matter what the Holonet says, the Viractyl stack is not a valid survival tactic. That channel just makes things up.
Oh. Well, Illyn thinks Billy is onto something with this Viractyl suit. Illyn will be in Illyn's workshop.
I feel like I should get some credit for this, but I'm not sure if I want it.
All right, and now for a destiny pool.
And our final destiny pool for the evening is balanced. It's 2 light side and 2 dark side points.
I thought balanced to the force meant all light side, no dark side.
Right, we're balanced. No, that's just what the Jedi thought.
You'd think they'd know.
The camera hovers over Billy's head while Medi and the droid guy comes on over the Dash entertainment system. The words of Illo echoing in our 4 heroes' heads.
I love betting on fights, I do. If you put a few thousand credits on a victor, it's all that much sweeter. But sometimes I like to ensure that my bet's gonna count, especially when I'm rooting for the underdog, and that's where you come in. Flutterplume is a favorite to win this upcoming prize match. I've tried to reason with her, but she's too in love with the sport. I've tried paying her to throw the fight, and apparently I'm too well known. She won't play ball, and all the things I've tried have met with rejection. It's up to you to find out what is needed to put her out, or do it yourself.
Do we have a dramatic sting? That was awesome.
Yeah, the 4 of you are driving away from Illo Venden's, or Illo's giant mansion with like aquariums and like Carcadon bodyguards, like really like rich place. And sent the 4 of you back to try and figure out how to stop Flutterplume from winning the next match.
Can we flip a point that there's like a brawler's mixer tonight where everybody just shows up and has some cocktails and meets each other?
I don't know, like if you're wanting to, it wouldn't take too much to find out like what the schedule would be.
Illyn is on it.
Like, it really is just sort of like a easy computer check or something, or maybe a streetwise check.
Perhaps we should drive to the location so that we may endeavor to, I really like the word endeavor as Billy, don't I, guys? That we may ascertain the information necessary to our task. Perhaps it will be posted.
Or Cav could just look it up on that terminal right over there.
If only there was some way that we could acquire this information freely and quickly.
At this end, it really sounds like it's either Cav or Vastrano, since Vastrano isn't speaking up.
I mean, Cav's the one with piloting Planetary, I think.
Yep.
I was fairly certain it was Cav driving and Barrowin riding shotgun and Billy and Vastrano in the back.
Yeah, it makes much more sense.
I mean, if you want to hang out with Billy Vastrano, that's totally legit. All you have to do is ask. You don't have to engineer these moments.
Flustered, vaguely British, mumbling.
It is always good to see you, Vastrano. Is that the terminal you were referencing, Cav?
Why, yes.
Perhaps we should then pull over.
Screech!
Yeah, and Illyn will go ahead and bring the speeder to a abrupt stop. There, we hear a horn go off behind us as the speeder that was behind us starts to like go around us as Cav pulls off the rest of the way. And we'll and Cav will go ahead and step out of the speeder and go over to the terminal with K3 in tow.
Captain, Does Cav have a license?
A what license?
Ah. Billy buckles herself in.
Believe it or not, Illyn has licenses to pilot several vehicles.
K1 speaks up, still hanging out in the van.
like the K1 hangs out with us.
And then we're like, which vehicles? And K1's like, oh, you should not have asked that question.
7 varieties of watercraft, class 2 air speeders,
forklifts.
Anyway, you said an easy computer check.
Yeah, it's an easy computer check.
4 successes and 6 advantages.
Yeesh.
I like those easy checks.
Cav's pretty good at this. So, 4 successes, I'm guessing finding the schedule was a breeze.
Yeah, finding the schedule is a breeze. You can. 6 advantages. Ugh.
Hey, there happens to be what did you want, Leslie? A party for all the fighters to
a mixer.
A mixer.
Well, okay. You can tell that Flutterplume is generally fighting out of the looted Savrip, and that seems to be where a lot of the more big time fighters are actually fighting out of. Instead of like gyms, this is a actual location that shows off, like it's an actual arena or several arenas. The scheduling's a little weird on that, but it looks like there's at least 2 or 3 arena inside the Loaded Savrip.
Okay.
And Flutterplume looks like they're doing most of their fighting out of there.
Okay. Maybe then if we don't do the mixer thing, an alternative idea, do we have like maybe an opportunity where like Flutterplume is accepting like open challengers or whatever?
Or as an autograph signing?
I was thinking something where we could actually, you know, take her out. Because I'm assuming Barrowin's not going to want us to like poison her or something.
I just want to say, talking to her was on the table. But sure.
I would prefer if we, you know, examine some non-cheaty directions.
Oh, well, Barrowin is on her own there. Illyn will provide plan B, then.
Barrowin is the captain, ergo, she's never on her own. You all have to be with her compulsorily.
I have been remiss to speak up, but I actually do. I think that I would prefer to try what Barrowin thinks is best. And not just because you're the captain. It has been my experience that the cheating method is often unrewarding in the long run.
Did, what's his name, the Hutt, have, arena fights?
Yes.
Do you have any useful insights because of that?
I don't know, do I?
I would say so, because you were a cut doctor. Like, Thakma's fighting was a bit more just straight out to the death. It doesn't quite sound like the Loaded Savrip is a place where it's going to be fighting for survival, but it does sound like a fairly routine place where, yeah, you every night, like as what Cav was able to bring up, there's a fight card for every night. And like right now, say you're on the equivalent of, a Thursday. On Saturday night, there's a big, big match where Flutterplume is supposed to be fighting, and they're the favored to win.
Okay. I still think our best use of these 6 advantages is to provide a opportunity to potentially fight Flutterplume in case talking does not work. Some kind of like open, you know.
May I offer a slight suggestion?
Sure.
One of the things that, like, if you're wanting to, like, one of the things that's sort of in your wheelhouse of what you were talking about is it sounds like you're wanting to, like, also get a bit of more information on Flutterplume.
Yes.
Like, just in general. That, I can offer up a couple for what I'd like to do is offer up a couple bits of info for, say, 3 of those, and then give a upgrade to an actual hard computers check to find out more.
Okay. Sure, we can do that.
As you're looking around, there's a few bits in the list that is like, as you're searching around, like, you're able to find a fair amount on Flutterplume, or you're able to find a fair amount on Flutterplume schedules. One of the things that did come up was this kind of weird thing of Flutterplume having, like, you know how every now and then local celebrities have a giving a big check to a charity kind of thing?
Yeah.
In this case, it's a hollow-up where Flutterplume is giving a bunch of prize money in a charity match to the village of Red Lake. And there's a note that Flutterplume seems to have come from there.
Okay. Out of curiosity, is there anything I find given my sheer number of successes on Flutterplume's non-stage name?
Or would that be part of the hard roll?
Yes, you're able to find out that Flutterplume's real name is Amy Kreif, and she does have an apartment in Westwall, a middle-class district. And one of the other things that you're able to find out for the silly number of successes is due to her success in the fighting arena, she's good enough that she's fighting like four times a week and is able to just fight. She doesn't have to hold down a day job and then go fight at night or fight, like, schedule her time off so that she can go off and, like, fight one day a week. No, she's actually able to fight 4 days a week and trains the rest.
Okay. Anything else off of those three advantages, or is that hard check time?
I'm going with it's a hard check time, but I'm going to be, because of how good this roll went, I'm going to be nicer than the listings are otherwise.
Okay. All right. Do you want to upgrade at all?
No, this one doesn't feel like it is spare. Would make it funny. Or fun.
Okay. All right, then. So because of the upgrade for the other three advantages, I'm sitting at 4 yellow, 2 boosts because of my improved Smeek's binary versus 3 purple. 5 successes and 1 advantage.
Huh.
So not very many bells and whistles, but...
You know that Flutterplume's an actual fighter that is able to do the really rare thing of being a fighter as her day job. The other things that you're able to find sort of on a bit of more of deep background is Flutterplume is a actual native of Ord Mantell and born in a farming village named Red Lake that's a bit into the scraplands from Whirlport as it is. Flutterplume left her village at an early age and had an encounter with Savrips in the scraplands, but she was fortunately saved by some scrapland nomads who brought her to Whirlport, where she's been ever since, learning to fight.
Okay. Out of curiosity, so I know she has a Westwall apartment that's middle class. Did I actually get an address?
I'm going to go with yes.
All right. Anything else, or time to go back to the group?
Yeah, one last thing that you're able to find out is the village of Red Lake had an alert on it when you were taking a look, because I'm just sort of envisioning this sort of as a properly hyperlinked internet or something, you know, like unlike the real one. But in this case, because you've got such a silly amount of successes, I'm tossing this one in, plus there was a silly amount of advantages.
Okay.
On the previous one, that you're able to find that a very recent ping went out on, or like news bulletin, but it's being kept relatively quiet, is the village of Red Lake was recently found abandoned. Signs are indicating that the entire population was taken by slavers.
Okay. Cav will go about unplugging K3, and we'll tell K3 to hold onto that address. No need to bring it up just yet. That'll be part of Plan B. And Ilin will head back over to the van that is poorly parked. Hop back in.
Flutterplume is otherwise known as Amy Kreif. Amy is from a small village called Red Lake that appears to have been taken by slavers of recent. It doesn't look good. But Cav does have a schedule for the loaded sav wrap ready for the crew's review.
Okay, well, that's something anyway.
So are you thinking that the wind streak and this village are connected?
Possibly. Anger can be a powerful weapon in a fight. The other thing that Ilin did notice is that Amy is a professional fighter. She has no day job. She fights and wins 4 times a week.
So somebody's probably helping her win.
Or she is that good. We should investigate either way.
I mean, she's not a player character. How tough could she be?
If we're honest, Captain, the player characters have had rather a difficult time surviving to this point.
It's not how I remember it.
Ben, I did not write notes on this, so forgive my memory. Is my guess correct that Red Lake is about where we were supposed to deliver the package? Is the other option?
Yes, it actually is related to the Slaver Bulletin as you landed. I was trying to find my script and I couldn't find it, so yes.
Should we then report to the loaded Savrip and inquire as to the situation?
Ilin thinks that would be best. It's now time for Billy and Vestrano's sort of investigation.
Billy and Vestrano's sort of investigation?
Yes, talking to people. Do you think there will be food there?
Oh, thank goodness. I thought you meant punching. I wasn't quite ready for that.
Cav, I talk to people.
Yes, yes, Barrowin, but they're good at it.
And takes off. And cut to the loaded sav wrap.
No, cut back to the time that I got, like, a bunch of triumphs against Vinlana in a negotiation role.
Or the clones. I mean, yeah.
Or maybe, yeah, that's true. Like, 2 triumphs against the clones. Or maybe this is this flashback where Barrowin now realizes, because of minute details in all of those scenes, that all of those times were just total setups to make her feel good about herself. So Cav is Kaiser Soze, is what I'm saying.
So, the Path of Coins, the most famous avenue on Whirlport, is clogged with revelers, most of them tourists, vendors, loudly hawking their wares. Good luck charm souvenirs and food, all lit with multicolored stalls as off-worlders mill about, laughing, smoking, as a parade of twilight dancers prances by, singing a melodic advertisement for one of the city's many casinos. You spot a colorful holographic Savrip above a casino entrance. The Savrip's stylish trousers are overflowing with credits that spill into a golden pile at his feet. The word loaded flashes brazenly above his head.
This feels suggestive.
Well, it is often best to give the customer, we'll say, an opportunity to believe they will win. But it is also best to assume that the house always wins.
That's not what I meant, but we can go with that.
So, I'm confused. Is that what credits look like? Are gold coins still a thing in Star Wars? What is currency?
Sort of the search of one half dozen of the other.
They aren't necessarily gold, but
gold-pressed latinum?
So, if you're in the core, most of your credits are electronic.
Okay.
Because you're in a place that's, like, very built up, and the banking systems are very solid, etc. However, if you have cash, it is all coins of some kind, metal coins. I don't think there's any paper money. And the further sort of out you get, the more you have to rely on cash versus the electronic version.
Show us the color of your money, as it were.
Yeah, and, you know, just the infrastructure is less good, and often you get to less and less strictly legal activities. Some
differently legal.
Some planets and organizations do have their own currency as well. Again, that's more common when you get out into the Outer Rim. It's like in episode one, you know, Watto doesn't accept Republic credits. It's kind of that kind of deal. Tatooine is such a backwater that it's like nobody takes this money because we functionally aren't really related to the Republic. Nobody cares what happens on this planet.
All right, then one more question, Ben. What's the name of the street?
The Was that the loaded coin? Is the Path of Coins.
Path of Coins. Path of Coins. Thank you. I was like, I'm so confused. But awesome. Thank you for clarifying and expounding.
Yeah, we also have art because, well, art.
And is that is where we're headed? The place with the...
That is the Loaded Zabrip.
Okay. Is that where the traffic is the most heavy?
Pretty much. Like, they do have a valet to park your lane speeder if you want.
That would be up to the captain, clearly.
I mean, it's probably the best place for the speeder to be, right?
The odds of it exploding in their care are very low.
Yes, which can't really be said of if we parked it ourselves.
Viable concerns.
Exactly.
This is disturbing that makes sense.
So I think we have a scene where we're pulling up and the valet is approaching the speeder as this motley crew steps out.
Motley?
I mean, look at us.
I am glorious.
Probably then the poor valet tries to get in and has to start backing the seat out because Ilan had it all the way forward.
I'm just sort of figuring that it's in the lean that's getting in, so actually has to get the seat a bit further forward.
Okay.
And is walking on like two blocks for their feet.
I like it.
So as you walk into the Loaded Zabrip from the street, the heroes discover a vast crowd and noisy gambling hall filled with tourists. The air is smoky, thick with scents of cigars, alcohol, and exotic aromas of spice. A harried olive Rhodian concierge in a rumpled green uniform nods to you. Welcome to the Loaded Zabrip, friends. What is your pleasure?
We are here for the fights. Yes, the fights.
So as soon as you ask about the fights, you can see him straighten up slightly, and like a wash of relief comes over this Rhodian. It's almost like, oh geez, I don't have to talk to the tourists again. Yay. And it's like he turns, motions with his sucker tipped fingers for the four of you to follow him, and he moves at a brisk pace towards the back of the casino until he arrives at a wall where he places an olive hand upon a panel, causing it to slide aside. Enjoy your festivities. And does a sort of scraping bow, motioning for the four of you to enter.
Will we be able to get back out?
It looks to be just a semi-hidden door.
The crew can always make an exit, Billy.
Why does the sign over here say you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave?
Starno just face palms.
Welcome to the Loaded Zabrip Casino.
Yes. Okay. Weird books.
Such All a right. love.
So, the panel disguises a fairly short corridor that leads to a number of small turbo lifts. There's three different turbo lifts. It looks to be set up more for quick up and down, so that you've got the ability for three. It doesn't look like there's, like, for the lights above them, it only looks like there's four different spots on each of the three. Most of them are on the second one from the top. In these, there's only down buttons for the landing.
Okay, so how busy is it back here?
Up top, it doesn't look like it's that busy. But it does look the four of you were winded through the confusing, like the purposefully confusing layout of the casino very expertly by the Rhodian and deposited here. It's like, okay, go down and you will be at the arenas. And it looks to me that this is where the Mantellans go instead of the tourists.
What?
the people from Ord Mantell are called Mantellans.
Oh, so the townies.
Yeah, this is where the townies go. You just went past all the tourists. Now you're where the townies go.
I guess we head down, right? I mean, that's where we gotta go to see people.
For the turbo lift, it's actually a, for the four of you to get into, it's actually pretty tight. It almost looks like this is, they're made for three people-ish, and then, like, as it goes down, it's a quick elevator, but it isn't dangerously slow, or dangerously so. Yeah. We'll try and figure out what dangerously slow means. No, it, like, it's quick, but it's not plummet to your doom kind. It, so.
That's good.
And it has pretty good brakes, like, drop down there. It's like a 40-second elevator drop, and then doors open in Star Wars emergency fling, because apparently they like overcharging doors in Star Wars. And there is a tall, thin Utapound in a...
I know what those are! Sorry.
In a green suit, eyes the hero suspiciously, and demands your admission fees. 100 credits, please, each, for access to the floor.
Nobody else is. Illyn stiffens up for a moment, and then we'll start patting down their pockets and produce 100 credits.
Berowyn will hand another 300 credits over.
Excuse me. This to the Powen? Powen. Billy raises one hand. If we wish to register to participate, is there another route?
No. For unregistered contestants, you will have to see Jed Rainier if you're wanting to fight. He'll see if you're made of stern enough stuff to get onto the fighting floor. He patrols between the arenas that we have here. For we have are three. And then it looks like the Palin is gearing up to start doing the basic, like, pointing out where the different things are on the floor.
What was the name they said?
Jed Rainier.
Yeah, we've heard that one before.
I wrote down that name before, yeah.
Is that the person we saw before? The one that,
No, I think the person we saw was Illo.
Oh, that's
Vanden.
The arena manager is, yeah. Is Jed Rainier.
And I think maybe they told us about Jed Rainier.
Does he tell us what Jed Rainier looks like? Like, give us any indication what we should be looking for?
Gives you a shark-toothed smile. Yes, Jed Rainier is a average-looking human, but even though that doesn't sound too promising, he is the one who is walking around with a microphone headset comlink on, who is yelling at pretty much everyone.
Ah, it should be easy enough to find.
Sounds like a charming fellow.
Yes, I believe he is in near the Gamorrean Arena, down to your left, where most of the exhibition matches are.
What are your other arenas?
We have three rings here. Two are for exhibition matches and for qualifiers, while the third is for main events, staging, and larger fights if they've gotten to the end of a round and the heads upstairs want it moved. We have the Petrosaur Arena over here, the one where most of the beast fights happen. But to be truthful, we generally like the beast more than the competitors, so it's more of a protracted feeding session than an actual fight. This way, we have the Gamorrean Arena down to your left, where most of the exhibition matches are. People trying to make their bones, some throwing, some showing that they still have it, and even a few looking for a release when they can. It's brutal fighting, but rarely to the same degree as in the main ring. And finally, the main ring. This is where the title fights are. The floor is changeable, so the terrain can be adjusted to make it much more interesting for the competitors and for the viewers.
What's that one called?
The main ring.
Oh, Illyn thought it might have had a fancy name, too.
Well, the announcers prefer the main ring sound as opposed to the different arenas. They workshopped, but they just never really could come up with a good name for it.
It's right there, the Savrip Arena.
We don't have too many Savrips fighting in the arena nowadays. They've gotten wise.
Do you have Gamorreans fighting in the Gamorrean Arena?
Yes, that is generally who is working off stress there.
Oh.
And...
Cav thought they were just flowery names.
Oh, and off to the right here, you can see that herd of beings? That is the betting pool. While you can deal with the barkers, you can also use the wickets there for a more casual experience.
Wait, they've got a bunch of Ewoks here?
What's an Ewok?
Stupid joke. Achieved.
And then other people walk up and we're like, oh, we should probably go now.
Excuse me?
Yes?
The admission fee that we paid, it was... Is there a sort of discount for repeat customers, as we intend to probably come by a few more times?
And with that, the credits are for... The admission fee is for the pageant, or for the lead up to the main fight on this weekend's main... this weekend's title fight. So, as they sort of pull back the lapel on their green uniform and pull out four of those admission bands.
It's a good thing we all have normal-sized arms.
Yep, Cav will hold out a chubby, basically non-existent wrist.
And goes around, yep. As everyone's extending their arm to do this, then, yeah. They'll toss a band around your arm or wrist so that when you come back, show the band and you will be granted admission until this band's color is no longer valid. The next title fight is in 3 days.
Well, that's very agreeable. Thank you.
Shall we proceed, Captain?
Yes, let's take a look around, get the lay of the land, see what we can figure out.
Once we're out of earshot of the doorman, Vastrano is going to saddle on over to Illyn and kind of whisper, Illyn.
Yes, Vastrano.
Could you take a look at these bracelet things? Make sure they don't have tracking devices in them or something.
Good idea.
You really can never be too paranoid in these places.
Illyn will go in and look over the bracelets we've been given. I'm given in Star Wars tech, I imagine any kind of addition or listening bug or things like that would be pretty obvious. And I'll have 4, 5, 6, and 7 kind of help me look it over just in case.
Do I want to get a check? No, I don't want to get a check. Well, it's one of those things of there actually just is not a, there isn't a thing. Anything on it. It looks to be just, it looks to have tamper resistant adhesive on it, but that's the only specialty to it.
The crew is good, Vastrano. They at least aren't going to follow or listen in on the crew's conversations through technology. But perhaps Vastrano and Illyn should still keep an eye out in case any beings take an interest in the crew's dealings.
Yes, yes, I will be observant.
Speaking of being observant, Billy is more familiar with casinos. So Billy is not as comfortable in an actually out and out arena, whereas Vastrano might be, but she's kind of just cruising the scene, looking around, using her height to kind of get a good idea of the movements, the patterns, the kind of style of bet taking, just how the whole thing kind of runs.
Can I get a easy streetwise check?
I can certainly roll one. We'll see how it goes. One success, four advantage.
The casino you were in apparently originally had things like varactyl races and pod races also being broadcast. a lot of the bedding style for this place is very much the same sort of thing. It's trying to bet on who's going to be the victor. Like that sort of seems to be the feel of this point, of this level. You've got people who, it seems like around the cardinal points on the circle of the arenas, you've got barkers, and then you've got a common set of wickets where you can go to and actually just like go up to a teller there and bet, like say I'm wanting this slate of people. Whereas you've also got barkers who, right up until the first punch is thrown, you can like hold up your credits and try and place a bet on someone. From what you can see, it looks like they're, for this time of day at this place, the general feel that you're getting from the Mentellans here are, most of them are, you want to go with like kind of working class, but very sort of high money working class kind of people. Like this is definitely like an after hours, we're coming here and betting on the fights, but it's very much, or it is also, everyone's like, you see a lot of suits there, you can see a lot of people in dresses, things like that, where it's not just coming from their retail job and coming down here. It's more business style or office type people who are coming down here.
So it's kind of their version of a night out on the town. So I mean, it's yes, a fight arena or a race arena, but it's not scuzzy.
The main ring does look like it's kept up a bit better. The two other rings are less so. It doesn't look like they get, the actual arenas don't look like they're cleaned as much, but you know, especially with the amount of advantages, you're not entirely certain that whether the blood and gore on the floors there is actual blood and gore or whether that's
decor,
yeah.
For some of my advantages, can I have an idea of where the fighters go, come, locker room space? Do they just rise up in the middle of the arena? Is there a place where people can talk to them?
It doesn't look like there's any place for them to be interacted with on the customer floor. It does look like there are, like, for every one of the entrances, there's still the, on the two smaller rings, there are opposing entrance ways that come out from underneath the circles of theaters and the sort of miniature amphitheaters that they're there. And the actual fight floors are sunk down about 10 feet, maybe a bit more, making
sure
that,
view.
Well, for better view and also so that it's harder to get into the stands.
Okay.
So it does look like there's another level down.
Okay, and then can we see the dude?
Yeah. Off next to where the Gamorrean arena, there is Jid strolling around the arenas, barking orders and arguing about which fight and which fighter is supposed to be next. Like, and you can see like a hand up holding this headset microphone in place, like, and just, no, I told you, get the anvil down there, he's the next one up, then we've got the next two fighters, the anvil's the next one, we've got people already starting to bet on that fight, we need him down there.
See, Berwin, those are the kinds of beings that Berwin is good at talking to. The scary ones.
As the four of you come up to him, you can hear off in the background some announcers in accented huttees starting to do a bit of blow-by-blow commentary for the Petrosar Arena. Yeah, what do you want?
Us?
Yes, you. You can see his hands come down from the comlink.
We're looking for a way to find a flutter plume.
You're looking for flutter plume.
Yep.
And Vastrana's gonna cut in. Yes, yes. I'm a very big fan. You see, I'm actually from the Thakba court, and I saw her fight some time ago, and it was stunning, and I didn't know if she would remember me, but I wanted to wish her luck, and so we wanted to big fan.
I feel like it would have been useful for you to tell us this earlier, Vestrano.
That does semi-raise a question. Which skill is getting used here?
Deception. Sorry, Berwin.
I really hope you fail, just so Berwin knows.
Let's be realistic. Even if you fail, Berwin won't know. Not with that cunning.
You keep lighting me on fire so hard.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I don't mean to pick on Berwin so much.
There's like a smidge of truth
I'm
here.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's primarily.
I was trying to push you forward to do the talking thing, and it didn't go well.
All right, so that is going to be against 2 red and 1 purple.
Oh, gross. Can I change my mind and say, like, negotiation? No. Okay.
Yes!
Oh, golly. I got a success, but 2 threats.
No, you didn't.
Oh, right. Looming.
Because I am looming, and I have 2 ranks in coercion, so you got a success. Billy just kind of cranes over the conversation.
And Vestrano kind of tries to look as innocent and earnest as possible. He's kind of like leading with the eyebrows.
Leading with the eyebrows.
Vestrano's just dashing. We all know it.
You won't get in to see Flutterplume. Well, by this point, I already know Flutterplume's in the locker room, and I can't just let anyone in there. But I do happen to have a opening for someone to fight the anvil, if you want to. And if you're to do that, then I can give you access to the fighter locker rooms on account of you are now a fighter. And I guess your entourage could.
Oh, great.
Okay, that negates what I was going
to
say, though.
Starno's just going to turn back to look at the rest of them. Eyebrows raised.
Well, yeah, we're gonna. We have a fighter to fight the anvil, you said?
Illyn is not it.
Yes, the anvil.
That's just like a fun, like, nickname, right? It's not indicative of their size or strength or durability, is it?
Given our surroundings, Captain, I dare say we should take this name quite seriously. I will take that place.
Are you sure?
Will they accept droids?
At which point, Jid will look you up and down. It's like, we do take droid fights, but I do not think that you are going to be in the same class of fighter as the Anvil. We would not want it to be a blowout in either direction.
Which direction would it be a blowout in if Billy here were fighting? Is she not big enough, or is she too big? Is the Anvil a Chadra fan?
The Anvil's a person here. The Anvil's a person. Like, your droid here is like a person and a half tall. As they're like,
I can be taller. Or shorter.
But before we agree to this arrangement, who is the Anvil? What are they like?
Parsons is a okay fighter. They're not exactly one of our best, but they are good to test out a fighter to see what they're actually worth. And if you're as rough and tumble as what you four look like, I think that the two of you, going between Vestrano or Berwin, would be a fairly fair fight between you and the Anvil. Your droid, I've already got the Petrosaur ring lined up for tonight. I might be able to squeeze you in tomorrow, but otherwise I don't have anyone that would pose much of a challenge to your droid.
At the description of he's an okay fighter, Vestrano visibly relaxes. Oh yes, I'll fight the Anvil.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I'm happy to do it.
Be fun.
mean, you see me in a fight, I know how to handle myself.
Is that what you would prefer?
I'm just saying. I don't want you to feel required.
Oh, I don't feel required.
Standard participation fee is 200 credits. Total purse is 1,500 credits. Two-thirds, one-third payout.
We have these wristbands.
And that gets you onto the floor just nice.
I mean...
Give the crew just one moment. Does anybody here have 200 credits?
I have 59 and some lint.
Yeah, because Ilan gave most of Ilan's money back at the door.
I should probably ask, sir, before we pay up, what are the rules?
Bare hands for this fight. Preferably no broken bones. No long-term injuries. Keep it a clean fight. The anvil will as well.
Okay, thank you. Back to the huddle.
At bare hands, Vistrano will have sort of slightly raised his eyebrows, like, in Berwin's direction. It's almost like a pick me sort of thing.
Vistrano, do you really want to do this?
From the description, he really didn't seem all that difficult.
I mean, you understand that if this goes badly, we don't have anyone that's going to be great to patch you up.
Cav has done sufficiently in the past.
Cav has been very reasonable at patching me up.
Cav will hold Vistrano's med pack.
I'm very sure this will be fine, Captain. You don't need to do all the work all the time.
Okay, well, we don't absolutely need to win this if you feel like you're getting to a point where you can't,
If I'm getting into a fight, I'm going to win it.
Okay.
Where can the crew watch?
If you want to watch, you can watch from the stands from the Gamorrean Arena. Now, if y'all have decided on who's going to be fighting, I need you, whichever of you it is, to get down to the Gamorrean Arena from the contestant side, because you're fighting in the anvil in 10 minutes. Bare hands, and... Oh, right. What's your stage name?
Vistrano's gonna crack his knuckles, and then crack his neck, and start rolling up his sleeves. You can call me the Cold Shoulder.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Leslie, at LeslieGS.
And you can find me, the amazing Cold Shoulder, at Atomic Firebird, also known as Brit. That's not as fun.
I'm Brandon on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me and Ilan on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K. You can also find me casting spells and solving problems in my other podcast, The Glass Dagger, over at CompleteKnight.com, also Night with a K.
Don't you mean causing problems?
Shh! Solving them.
Right. And we are all at theHydeanWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show, please.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us over at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.